petitions. We have no petitions to table today. Is there any petitions from the public gallery today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. 5.0, public question comment session. Are there any members in the public gallery that would like to speak? Please state your name and your address and limit your comments to 5 minutes, please.
Thank you. I didn't know whether I was going to be able to speak about that or not.
Not a standard comedy act.
Anyway, very quickly, I'd just like to comment on your two presentations. They were very interesting, both to the press and the public press. And there are two issues. One, with respect to the agriculture, it's too bad a couple of years ago we had a number of conservative people coming in to the council concerning the operation of the aquaculture sheeps here. And it's too bad some of those people couldn't be here to hear the new regulations and things that now are in place, which would probably address a lot of their concerns. However, that didn't happen. A couple quick questions, Mr. Mayor. First of all, with respect to sidewalks, I noticed, and other people have too, coming across Bristol, where the sidewalks come and where the driveways go in and so on, there's yellow painted there, so you can tell where the driveway is and what have you. And it's also a safety reason as far as when people are using those sidewalks, and I know a number of people have mentioned it, and also in the past, you know, I attended meetings, asked if that's going to be extended to sidewalks in the towns and Main Street area and other streets.
At this point, staff is looking at what has occurred on Market and Bristol, and we have no determination at this point to council as to whether it will expand, but that is an ongoing issue. There will be at some point a decision.
I'd ask that you give it favorable consideration.
Thank you.
And one other thing, which is not in this county's jurisdiction, but with respect to road signs, highway signs, particularly on the trunk highways, and I can use an example. You go inside a building here and you start at the Wood Point Road. The first sign you see there is sheltered airmen under it, but it's the bushes are all grown up around it. You can't know until you get on top of it what's there, and then you have to stop and look at it. And I continued on and went up exit 28, there's another one up there, and you can drive all around the municipality or perhaps maybe around the province. The same thing. Now, I know they're not your signs, but what I would ask is that perhaps maybe staff could get in touch with DOT and see if they could clear a way for them. They said it helped tourists and other people that are away from there, not from the area, to be able to read the sign, because there's no way to read it when you drive along.
Yes, I would agree, Leon, that there is additional work that could be done on the provincial road networks. We're in contact with provincial transportation on a continuous basis. We have identified tree trimming. We have identified grading, we've identified potholes, we've identified pretty well everything that you can imagine, and they are working on them, although likely not as fast as we would like to see results.
Right. Might have to stick with you. Thanks very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Leon. Any other member of the gallery would like to comment today?
Bill Cox, 121 Bob Road, Lake Point. Very interesting presentations this morning, and as Leon alluded to, some of them are just a little bit out of timing. It would have saved a lot of grief if these things had been in place before. I did note from the handouts from the Nature Trust that 40% of the properties which are under conservation in the province of Nova Scotia are within Queens or bordering on Queens, and is one of the smallest of the municipalities. I think that this takes away from a lot of development that could take place, particularly in regard to ecotourism and utilization of the lands for further recreational purposes. I was hoping that they would stay, and I would get a response from them. It appears that there is no consideration when they're making their decisions whether to put further lands under conservation as to what is actually going on in the area in which they're going to conserve the properties. I think we must have in land mass as a percentage some of the highest in the province and perhaps even in eastern Canada in regard to parks, conservation areas, bird sanctuaries, etc., which takes away from the actual use of the land area and something that would be a taxable advantage to the region. However, enough on that one. I did want to speak briefly in regard to number 9, I believe it was, the flag policy. Whoever prepared the paper did an excellent job. They've covered most of the bases. The provision of an off-site flagpole certainly relieved a lot of the criticism which took place back in the 1990s when I was a member of council. I think it's an excellent idea. The only thing is in regard to the actual implementation. If we have a member of the armed forces who shall unfortunately lose their life, it may not be readily apparent to the connection of that individual to this community due to out-migration or what have you. And I think we've may miss out on the opportunity if that has to go to council or whatever. But I do denote in your part there that if any citizen brings forth a bit of information that it can be acted on internally to see that the flag is properly put at half mast, and that's very appreciated, because more and more our world is becoming more and more dangerous, and we are slipping back into peacekeeping operations and policing of peace throughout the world. And I think it's very important that should somebody unfortunately lose their life, that they be properly recognized by having the flag placed at half mast to honor that, and at least brings public attention. Why is that flag at half mast this morning? And those were the couple of things that were on my mind this morning, and unfortunately our presenters have left, but I do really appreciate the work that has gone into the regulation of the agriculture industry. I think it can be commercially viable and a great economic driver for our province if the regulations are pursued as our presenter has said that they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. My understanding from the presentation of the Nature Trust this morning is that their lands are open to recreation and to visitation, and certainly prohibited to forestry and mining. So I think that would alleviate some of your concerns. Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? Thank you. We will move on to 6.0, approval of minutes. 6.1, regular council minutes for October 10th, 2017. Are there any error or omissions in those minutes? Hearing none, a motion to accept the minutes for October 10th to be in order, moved by Councilor Fairley, seconded by Councilor Fancy. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? It is unanimous. 6.2, public hearing minutes, October 5th, 2017. Any errors or omissions in those minutes? Hearing none, a motion to accept those minutes would be in order. Moved by Deputy Mayor McLeod, seconded by Councilor Fisk. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 7.0, dangerous or unsightly. We have one under 7.1, 118 Milford Street in Milton. And I would ask our bylaw officer, Kellyanne Hurley, to come forward, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Councillor Fancy, would you like to take the lead on this one?
I shall recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality declare the property located at 118 Milford Street, Milford, Queens County, Nova Scotia, and identified as PID number 7007-6906, is dangerous and unsightly as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia, and that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality cause an order to be served upon the owner of the property requiring that within 7 days of the date of the service of the order, the following work be carried out. Number one, demolition of dwelling. Number two, source, the separation of construction and demolition material and delivery to Region of Queens Municipality landfill. And number three, leveling of property. And that if the owner fails to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out and all expenses incurred by the Region of Queens Municipality become the responsibility of the owner.
I'm seconded to that. Councilor Sitt. Kellyanne, would you like to give us a briefing?
Sure. 118 Milford Street, Milton, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 7007-6906. Assessed owner Timothy Coombs, deceased, or the estate representative. The dwelling situated on the property is considered to be a threat to public safety and requires immediate attention to remedy the dangerous and unsightly aspect of the offending property. The property was vacated several years ago and has been classified as derelict due to a lack of ongoing maintenance. The dwelling is a one-story wooden framed structure erected on a masonry block basement. The roof is open to the elements due to the removal of a stovepipe, thus rendering extreme water damage to the interiors. The roofing shingles have outlived their lifespan and the roof shows substantial rot. All sills appear to be rotten and the front fascia is wide open due to excessive rot. The dwelling displays several broken windows and was found insecure recently by myself through the front door, which was also insecure, and it was easily accessible along with a fully insecure basement entrance, rendering the property an immediate threat. Many complaints were received from neighboring residents regarding nuisance wildlife, and all complaints have indeed been proven factual. I have secured the dwelling windows and doors via contractors and have formally maintained the offending property on a seasonal basis this spring, summer, and fall at taxpayers' expense. The reporting officer made contact with several family members before and during the process, including a Region of Queens Municipality tax sale and former tender process in which there was no vested interest in the identified property at this time. As a dwelling is considered to be in a state of disrepair so as to be dangerous, unsightly, or unhealthy, and is considered to be in a ruinous condition, constituting an immediate fire hazard, and could indeed be an allurement to children who may play in the area, my recommendation is for a full demolition. I'll show you a few of the photographs. As you see, it's a small, very small dwelling, and it's basically constructed of plywood and or OSB board. As you can see, the shingles have blown from the roof and the front fascia has been removed or has rotted to a point of it being completely open to the elements. It's just showing the civic number of 118 Milford Street in Milton. There's a closer photograph of the fascia whereby it's completely rotten and has fallen off the dwelling. You can also see a photograph of the front picture window, which was recently smashed, and the front door was also insecure, and it's been secured since. Just another close-up photo. You can see where the foliage is growing up at the front as well. Again, closer up photograph of the roof showing the missing shingles. And of course, the hole in the roof whereby suspects unknown have recently removed a stove pipe, and there's substantial water damage to the interior. Again, just a closer up photo of the construction, showing the holes and rot. Basement windows have been secured as well. It's back entrance. This is the basement entrance that was fully insecure. Substantial wildlife living inside as well. That's it.
Thank you, Kellyanne. Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Fisk?
Do I see another outbuilding there since then?
Not on that property.
Really?
No, that belongs to the neighboring property.
How close is that neighboring property?
I would like to say 12 feet. And the neighboring property is also owned by the same property owner that I have reported today.
One more question. The oil tank, how's that?
The oil tank is empty, and during demolition, of course, it will be removed.
Councilor Johnson?
Councilor Fisk already asked the oil tank question.
Councilor Fancy?
So do we see that the owner has been deceased? It must be owned by somebody, though. Bills to or whatever?
The bills are going to the deceased owner. One owner only.
Okay.
No vested interest by any of the family members without getting too personal.
Okay.
Yes, I would ask our CAO to comment.
We actually had that on our last property tax sale list.
Yes.
Both properties, neither of which there was any interest in.
Any other councilor have a question or comment on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We have nothing today under 8.0 economic development. Under corporate services, 9.1, we have a flag policy. I would ask Heather Cook to come forward if you would. And Councilor Fisk, would you like to take the lead on this one?
Recommendation that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt Operational Policy 84, flag flying policy providing protocol for flying flags on municipal property. A process for flag flying requests from nonprofit groups and protocols for flying flags at half mast.
Second to that? Do you have any comments this morning, Heather?
As you can see in the notes, a number of the suggestions that were made at the Committee of the Whole meeting have been added to the current policy. I believe that's it.
CAO, would you have any comments on
this? As we marked out at the last Committee of the Whole meeting, the first come, first serve basis, we've removed that and we've added in. Consideration will be given to the order it's received. Staff won't make a choice if there are two within the same time frame. Those will come back to council for their decision. The significance of the flag as well was noted by council. So we will ensure that we have the text provided by each of the organizations. And that way our information will be consistent with their information and we'll make sure that it's widely known, the significance of the flag that's being thrown in the court. So we've asked them to include that with their application.
Councilor Johnson?
Just that I'm a stickler for process. And at the end of the day, you know, is the process clear and does it have somebody as the first point of contact with the go-to person here in the region to make sure that the flag is put up, it's taken down in a timely manner, and all of that sort of thing. Is that clear? It speaks to process and the motion, but all we have here is a policy.
Everything, I believe, will flow through the CAO office. So that way, if I'm not readily at the desk or the CAO's not readily at the desk, it will flow through the executive secretary so that we always have that point of contact. And the girls at the doors, so our main reception desks will know that it flows in that direction. So everybody will be made aware of who the first point of contact is, yes.
All right, as long as it doesn't get lost in the mail, so it might be a concern.
Councilor Fancy?
So there will be an opportunity for, we have a list of the people, the ones that are going to be, that we know who we fly the flag for.
Recurring is included
right.
as an appendix, that's
yeah.
right.
But we will have an opportunity for people to make a request for a period of time to be able to, like say, autism said that we'd like to be able to say, we don't want to apply for that every year. Could we make a request to have it at a certain time frame?
I would say at the end of the first full year, likely staff will maybe bring back a recommendation to council, the recurring flags that have appeared during that year. The appendix is separate and apart from the policy, so it wouldn't require an overall policy adjustment or amendment. We would be able to bring that appendix list back to council periodically, so if we suddenly realize we have a kind of a regular list and it's growing of recurring flags, then yes, we can bring that back to council. We can amend the appendix, and then it won't be necessary for those organizations to apply each and every year at the same time.
Any other councillor have a question or comment? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I just want to thank Heather and Robert for going through this. It was a big, arduous project, and I appreciate all the information given to us.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any other councillor have a comment or question on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Heather. We'll move on to 9.2, Queens Community Aquatic Society grant request. Councilor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on 9.2?
Yes. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves a $6,000 grant to be paid from prior year's operating surplus to assist Queens Community Aquatic Society with proceeding with their consulting report.
Seconder to that, Councilor Kiss. CIO, would you like to give us a briefing on this?
So we had a very in-depth presentation from the Aquatic Society at Committee of the Whole on the 17th. They had incorporated into that presentation the new information that they've received over the past couple of years. Originally, of course, when they started the plan to bring the pool to Queens County, they were using some estimates based on best knowledge and information that they were able to source from other facilities at the time. So they have done a lot of work, a lot of due diligence in sourcing kind of better information going forward. The Region of Queens did assist them with the differentiation between the costs for the dome facility versus an enclosed brick and mortar structure. Realizing that efficiencies around the operations would definitely be observed if the facility was not the dome facility, but was the brick and mortar. So going forward from that, they also realized that those numbers being much higher than they were in the original presentation, they needed to take it one step further and look at consultants. That's who they are sourcing in their latest request, in their latest report, are expert consultants who have been in the industry for 30 plus years. They are now retired, so they have an opportunity to offer their expertise to the Aquatic Society at really a very discounted rate, but you get that quality piece for that consultant in the background, so that's great. Society realizes that they do require at this point some a more well-defined footprint or plan and a more well-defined estimate of the operations of that plan going forward. Now, it's something they're going to need for the federal and provincial funding applications, of course, but we felt that the Region of Queens also needed that information so that they were able, you as council, were able to make your best informed decision on whether the Region of Queens does have a pool project going forward, and whether it is something that we will add to the capital plan at the Region of Queens going forward. So this contribution is a grant. The report itself will be sourced and the consultants hired by the Aquatic Society. And our contribution is really the Region of Queens saying that it is also a stakeholder in this information, because council really wants to know best information and best operations costs and capital costs going forward in order to be able to make an informed decision of whether they're going to add this pool project to their capital plan or not.
Any comments or questions to council? Councilor Vance?
That was my one concern, is that yes, we do need to know where we're going.
We do.
We've got to either go forward or put this to rest, whatever wherever way we're going, we need to find where we're headed for. The other end of it is that when we put no consulting fees, that's not standard practice for what we give money out to. So is the other groups may come along and say, hey, look, you're doing this for, is that going to set a precedent that's going to come back and bite us? But I guess if we're looking at it as we're stakeholders into this, then that becomes what differentiates what we're doing, right?
It really is really good information and information that council does need if they're going to make this informed decision going forward. So we very much want to be privy to all that information that this report defines. And it's the grant process is simply that the Aquatic Society are the ones that are hiring these consultants. The Region of Queens are not hiring the consultants because it would be different for the municipal government. You know, we would have to tender and there would be a whole other process to that. So it's great that they're willing to provide us with the information. They've got provincial funding for the other piece of it. This was the small amount that they were missing on the other side. And we do agree that they have done a lot of due diligence going forward. They have accepted the higher value on the capital side of it. They know they need this additional information and that it's important to their both their funding application process and to the Region of Queens Council to decide going forward whether we're able to participate.
I have Councilor Johnson next.
Okay, well, I think I, like Councilor Fancy, got some of my questions answered, but I'm really want to know what our role is at the region going forward. Really needing to know the scope of the work of this particular survey and the fact that do we have some representation on the Aquatic Society that we can manage realistic expectations versus what the consultants come back to us with what is realistic. This, the feasibility study, to me, I don't see that. That should be part of the scope of the work and the ongoing business case. What's the impact to the ratepayers of the region going forward if we decide to enter into this agreement, whatever the role is of the region, to have a pool?
CAO?
Those things are still burning issues.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in contact with the society. I will stay in contact with the society. I believe that these consultants are and will work completely independent of the society. They're being hired to perform a task. That task is this study. This study is a feasibility study, and I do like, in talking to them, their intention is to look at the demographics of our community when they're considering the feasibility, the geographics of our community when they're considering what is feasible for the Region of Queens. They will look at the information that has been gathered in the past. They will look at the footprint and the design, and I believe they will take a real look at not only the upfront costs of what the region can afford to build, but they will look hard at the operations ongoing for this footprint and this design that they come up with. So when they say that this design is feasible for a community of this size and you know, your main area of population for users for a community of this size. And then they will look at that footprint and that design, and they will put operations costs to that as well. So it's one thing to know whether you can afford to build it. It's another thing to know whether you can afford to operate it. And they will also be looking at what they would estimate the users to be as well. So part of that operations piece, yes, is, you know, your utilities and your the scope of the costs of operating a facility, but they will also look at the estimate or possibility of various users. So they will feed into that kind of the revenue stream, the offset of that. And I really believe that they will be able to define a kind of a clearer ongoing operations deficit that will go along with this, which we want to know, the council wants to know in making this decision. But again, the Aquatic Society is very accepting of finding out these real numbers and the reasonable information going forward, because part of their fundraising piece is going to be this endowment fund as well, and they will want to contribute towards that deficit, and that will be another piece that will form part of the decision the council makes in deciding whether we add this to the capital plan or not. And all of those things, they really need this base report and this information so that they are clearly defined going forward. I believe that they will give us more whole information.
Councilor Johnson, do you want to follow?
Yeah, so just two questions. Part of this, I hope, will be a more in-depth survey than what has happened in the past, because I heard gaps in that last week at the committee hall. And the other part is that I'm looking from you, from the interim CAO, this $6,000 investment will put this to bed with all the appropriate information we need to make a decision.
That is what I see happening from this report. We really need to know this information. We really need to know the information that this report is going to define for us, of course, up front. Also, part and parcel to this report will be, we will then see, instead of going out there to the community with a survey that there's no tax rate implication, that there will be no cost to the taxpayers, we in our minds know that's probably not the case, that that's not going to happen that way. This will give us a clearer amount going forward so that we can better define or use experts to better define a survey for us. Because this information, along with that capital information, that's all it's reasonable information that we need to then take forth to the public. And so I see there being additional public consultation after we have this information, additional public consultation, presentations, and a better defined survey, so that we have better answers going forward. Because I really think that having not had this information, that the survey wasn't complete and really not as accurate as it could have been, because it did kind of seem to say that there wouldn't be tax rate implications, and this should define for us what those tax rate implications will be.
And on a point of information, the $6,000 request that's before us now will enable the Aquatic Society to request a $18,000 cost share fund from province, which will take project consulting report to $24,000. So, Councilor Fancy?
That's part of what I was going to say too, because if they can't, they're having a hard job going forward if we don't.
They need municipal support.
They need municipal support
to do their due diligence of their next step.
And these projects are so hard because it's, you don't know the implications of having a pool do, you know, for community wise and growth and events and things like that. So all factors are going. I'm not going to get this through here, but it's tough decisions to make.
And this is different, as you alluded to earlier, with other organizations doing studies or wanting reports and looking to the Region of Queens. This is different because the Region of Queens has kind of had that pool project on the radar for quite a long time now. And it was starting to seem more like a not a what if, but a when. So this is different in that I consider us to be a valid stakeholder in this report because of the fact that this project has been on our radar for so long. And really similar to the Rails to Trails and their next report and their next step, it's their report and their study and their assessment on that end, and then they were looking to us to contribute to support along with that. This is very similar to that. It's really not our study, it's not a Region of Queens undertaking per se, but we do have a vested interest in knowing this information, and so it's very valid for us to contribute to this report and then receive that whole information the same as the Aquatic Society will.
Deputy Member Clark?
Jennifer, feasibility studies all have specific components to them, you know, giving the information so that a decision can be made at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any, because we will be owning this facility once it's built, do we have any input into, with the Aquatic Society, into what information, once they present this with terms of reference to the company that may quote on it or give them, or they may have already chosen somebody if they get the money. But do we have any input into making sure that all the information is there that we need? And I don't want a report that is compiled of information that's already been gathered years ago or from other public meetings that we've had. So is everything going to be fresh and up to date?
So this worked a little differently, actually. The consultants, it's my understanding, were offering their expertise kind of back in the beginning. They were talking with the Aquatic Society. They were participating. They knew that they themselves had done this on many occasions over the last 30 years for many other facilities and pools. It's not based on, it doesn't start from the ask or the wish list. It starts from the demographics and the population and your community, and then they work down through to see what it is, what you're able to afford in the community. So because they've kind of come in from the ground, they have not been coerced in any way. So they don't have a predefined answer for this report. What they're going to do is they're going to look at all the various inputs and variables that go along with this. They're going to determine what that design plan is, and then they're going to attach realistic costs to that. And with their 30 years experience, it apparently is very easy for them to attach costs, realistic costs, to within 1%, apparently, is the margin of error. So, thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Any other councillors have a question or comment on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We have nothing today under 10.0 engineering and work. We have nothing today under 11.0 finance. Under 12.0 recreation and community facilities, we have under 12.1 community recreation assistance program. Yoga in North Queens, Director of Recreation, Megan Roberts. Approaching the presentation date. Thank you. Councillor Johnson, would you like to take the lead on 12.1?
Sure thing. I'd like to recommend that the Council for the Region of Queens Municipality approve a Community Recreation Assistance Program grant in the amount of $640. The United Church Women to be funded for the Community Grants and Programs budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
Seconded to that, Councillor Chris. Megan, would you like to read this on this?
Sure. Thank you. So the United Church Group had, we'd actually been working with them in the past, and we've kind of steered them towards this grant as the best way to do it because it's going to be sustainable in the long term. So this grant will help them get up and running. It will help them with their instructor and facility costs because they have to obviously pay both of those. And then it will help with sustainability ongoing because they're willing to take ownership of this program, and it's going to be for everybody. It's going to be for all abilities. It's not geared at a certain group. They're going to allow, teens, adults, seniors, and the instructor that they've been working with has geared the program so that it's accessible to everybody. and it'll be more of a beginner intermediate as they start to get everybody in and able to do it, and she's going to provide all of the equipment. She's going to bring that with her, so I think it's going to be a really, really good program, and I think it will be sustainable in the long term.
Any questions or comments of counselors?
Who's going to be the instructor?
Kelly?
The last name I will mispronounce is Andrea Wegner. Correct, yeah.
She lives in the area.
Correct. She owns Mercer River Shelley's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other counsel? Counselor Fancy?
I have to ask this because sometimes there's so many numbers fly around my head, I can't remember everything. But do we, I was thinking we only could go to 500 max on those things, can we?
No, so for every grant, there's obviously a different amount. The one you're thinking of is for special event and tournament assistance. This one goes up to a maximum of 750, and it can only be funded twice. Yeah, in separate years, obviously. Yeah.
Any other counselors have a comment or a question? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Nate.
No problem.
Under 13.0 planning. We have the dog kennel issue at 380 Brooklyn Shore Road. I would ask Mike McLeod to come forward. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead on this one?
I shall. I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt an administrative policy respecting a development agreement to allow for dog boarding kennel on property identified as PID number 7008905. And located at 380 Brooklyn Shore Road in Brooklyn.
Seconder, Councilor Fancy. Mike, would you like to brief us on this?
Yep, as further to the public hearing this morning, the owners at 380 Brooklyn Shore Road in Brooklyn have applied for a development agreement to allow for the operation of a dog kennel on their property. It's not permitted as of right, and the list of permitted uses in the general residential R2 zone. But council can consider such uses through a development agreement process. Attached is a copy of the proposed development agreement, which includes a number of conditions and clauses, which will seek to incorporate that proposed operation within the surrounding residential community.
And we, this morning, had no comments at the public hearing. Do we have any written submissions on this?
No, there's not.
Any counselors have a question or comment on this issue? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I just have a question. If written submissions had been received, they would have come through the public hearing process.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just clarify.
Okay.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? Counselor Johnson?
Is this similar, Mike, to what we went through with the rezoning of Caledonia Corner around the fact that if they want to have this business, there's also a charge to go along with it, or is this
That's right. It pays for the advertising costs of
the
public hearing. That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Any other counselor have a question or a comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. We are now moving on to Section 14 reports. Under 14.1, we have the building inspector's report. Are there any questions or comments on that report? Building inspector's report. Councilors have a question or comment? Okay, we'll move on to 14.2, bylaw enforcement officer's report. Any questions or comments of counselors on that report? Hearing none, we move on to 15.0 other. We have nothing to bring forward today, and nothing to bring forward under in camera. A motion for adjournment would be in order. So moved by Councilor Fairley, seconded by Councilor Kelly.